Henry Blofeld has just retweeted Christine Hamilton. That was The Aliens with Magic Man. Hello, you're listening to the Tim and John Show. I'm Tim Clare, and the man over there...
John Osborne.
Yeah.
Good guess.
Beat me to the punch. Yeah. Nice, lucky guess. How are you doing, John?
I'm all right. It's raining, and this studio's really hot. But apart from that, I'm all right. I'm coping with both of those pretty heroically.
Yeah, I feel like we're in a greenhouse, and like all we're missing is the kind of like overwhelming smell of tomato plants.
Yeah, I'd like it if it smelled of tomatoes.
Basically, today that you're listening to Future Radio, this is 107.
I've got a fact about a tomato later on in the show.
It's not going to be mired in fibs, is it?
No.
Wow. So this is not going to be just one of we are now doing a semi regular feature called John Osborne's Lies.
I've got one of those. That's excellent. About martial arts.
Yes.
And my tomato fact is about a president of the United States of America.
That's which president are you doing today? Can you let me know, or is that a surprise?
It's Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson, amazing.
The third president of the United States.
Early.
Sorry,
I can't quip about John Thomas Jefferson. About to go into
Yet.
My Thomas Jefferson material, but by the end of the show, we'll have loads. I'll be reincorporating TJ facts.
This is my feature where I profile a different American president every week.
Bring him down a peg or two.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be Thomas Jefferson right now, he's dead. So,
That's how mine ends.
Spoiler alert. And also the theme today.
Spoiler alert. I like saying spoiler alert.
I like saying if there's like a car going past with a spoiler. jokes like that and other fun with homophones where I exploit the fact that some words sound a bit like other words. Supergrass with Bad Blood. I think Supergrass are amazing. The first ever single I bought was All Right by Supergrass.
It was All Right.
Well, that's not a cool Supergrass. That's the least cool of the Supergrass singles for me to have got, I suppose, because that was their breakout single.
Man-Sized Rooster.
I was going to say Man-Sized Rooster. I remember going back and seeing, like, when I used to go to CD fairs and seeing the old Supergrass singles and them looking rather exotic and
exciting.
Yeah,
I've got quite a lot of Supergrass singles. I was collecting them at one point.
Is it Lenny that's got a picture of a penguin on the front?
I do have Lenny with
a big medal that says Lenny.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand the reference, but I was like, they know what they're talking about.
Yeah,
they're Supergrass.
They are. I met Danny from Supergrass's mum and dad once.
And?
They were really lovely. They invited me and our friend Paddy to their house in Oxford, knowing that we wouldn't.
It's really hollow.
We did really talk about trying to call their bluff and working out where they lived and go, hey, it's us. But yeah, they were really charming and nice, and they told us lots of stories. They told us lots of secrets.
Oh, wow. Did they about presumably relating to Supergrass?
To Gaz.
So in a way... They grassed on Supergrass.
Grassed on Gaz.
What's? Tell me a good secret. Were you much of a secret keeper as a kid?
I'm quite a good secret keeper, I think, mainly because I've got no mates, so I've got no one to tell. So people, if they've got a bit of information that they want to share with someone, but they don't want it to spread, they'll think, oh, I'll tell him. Who's he going to tell? So I've got loads of secrets stored up inside me. It's great.
That sounds like you're sending out a threat to everyone listening. You're like, I know where the bodies are buried.
And little did they know I was about to get a radio show.
Okay, so there's going to be... So presumably today is going to be a day of revelations.
Yeah, it is.
For certain people, unless we get enough donations in.
I'm going to pour a big glass of whiskey, sit down in my armchair that I've brought especially with me, and tell a few home truths.
I knew it would be home truths. Home truths, as everyone listening will know, are never good. You never get a nice home truth. You never get a home truth that's like, you know what, a lot of people privately say how kind you are and how much they value as a friend. A foo home truth. I was never good at keeping secrets, but then I was never really entrusted with them. I was always the last person to know, and then everyone would be like, didn't you know? And I'd like, it wouldn't even be something. The worst thing is, it's never something that really matters. It's like, oh, didn't you know that those two were had a kiss or something. I'm trying to think of stuff that's appropriate to junior school. I can now no longer model junior school in my head. Like, didn't you know that they had an affair? You don't have affairs in junior school.
I did.
Have a fair. Yeah.
You do like words that sound similar to each other.
Yeah, the series today, that should be the theme of the show. Fun with homophones. I never was good at keeping secrets, but then I always was desperate to be entrusted with them. But then if I'd been entrusted with them, I would have wanted to. In fact, as a really young kid, I couldn't, like, I literally, if someone told me, I would just have to run off and spread it. That was Al Green with Keep Me Crying.
Reverend. He's a reverend now.
Is he?
That's my fact about Al Green.
This is a true fact, right?
Yeah.
I don't have anything to say.
No.
I didn't need to. Either did I.
He's a reverend.
That's interesting.
He's a reverend. Stop. Get on with it. Yeah. Next item. Next song.
Am I right in thinking that Don McLean, who did American Pie, is also a reverend? I don't know what the difference between a rev and a vicar is. Or is reverend just the... is a reverend a vicar? Well, now you don't have it. Now you're not so cocky, are you, John? Suddenly you're coming here like going, oh, I'm John Osborne, I'm like an ecclesiastical genius. Turns out you don't know anything about the church. I bet you don't even have a degree in theology.
Al Green's a reverend.
That's Dan Sartain with Atheist Funeral. Come on to my atheist. It's like Atheist Funeral, like Littlest Hobo. I made John Osborne laugh. The day when I make John Osborne laugh, that's a win for me. That's a win for me, John. I'm happy. I write it in my book. I'll put a tick.
You were right.
Yeah, and I am now. Now I've made you laugh. So we're talking. Hello, you're listening to the Tim and John Show. I'm Tim Clare, and the less sweaty than me man over there is John Osborne. You didn't get it this time, did you, John? Too slow. I get to say your name for you.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So we're talking about secrets. We're talking, and I'm moving swiftly into my fascination with conspiracy theories and all.
I like that if we listen back to every show that we've done together, we end up talking about conspiracy theories. The theme of today's show is our childhood, so let's talk about conspiracy theories.
Yeah, well, I agree, John, but it needs to be said. I'm doing the work here, yeah? Some other news outlets might want to keep that secret, yeah? And I went off mic there because I spilt coffee on my... Coincidence? Or is it the government messing with my brain? No, it's a coincidence. It's just poor minor motor control. Basically, here's number four of my favourite conspiracy theories / urban legends of all time. Number four is the Phantom Time Hypothesis. The Phantom Time Hypothesis is a conspiracy theory developed by Heribert Illig, who was born in 1947 in Wohenstrasse, Germany. Did I pronounce that right? Or Wohenstrasse?
It's Strasse.
Okay. Yeah. It's because it had
a German at university, so I should know.
What's the funny B called, John?
Esset.
An Esset. It didn't have an umlaut though, so I can only pronounce stuff with umlauts. They're my specialist area.
I only say words with umlauts.
That's my thing. The Phantom Time Hypothesis proposes that there has been a systematic effort to make it appear that periods of history, specifically that of Europe during the early Middle Ages, that's AD 614 to 911, exist when they do not. Basically, Illig believed that the Middle Ages, the early Middle Ages, never happened.
What? Say that again.
The Phantom Time Hypothesis is that the early Middle Ages were made up and never happened.
I like
Illig
this theory.
Believed that
I believe
was
a, it.
That
I'm,
this was
I'm
achieved through alteration, misrepresentation, a forgery of documentary and physical evidence. So basically, there's that.
That is what happened.
There is 300 years. We're actually, what he's saying is we're actually in 1712.
Oh.
And the documents have been forged to make it look like an extra 300 years happened because there was like a period without documentation. They've pretended that this extra. He's the basis of Illig's hypothesis include the scarcity of archaeological evidence that can be reliably dated to the period AD 614 to 911. Perceived inadequacies of radiometric and dendrochronological methods of dating this period and over reliance on medieval historians and written sources. He claims the presence of Romanesque architecture in 10th century in Western Europe. This is taken as evidence that less than half a millennium could have passed since the fall of the Roman Empire. And he concludes that the entire Carolingian period, including the person of Charlemagne, is a forgery of medieval chroniclers, more precisely a conspiracy instigated by Otto III.
But why?
Because he says that it was he basically claims that, well, different people claim different reasons, but he claims it was because in Europe it was an attempt to give Europe a spurious history to make us not seem reliant on the Romans and the Roman Empire, but actually that Europe had its own proper cultural history.
Okay, that's where do I sign up? I want to be part of this.
You just have, John. That's
okay.
Fine.
Oh well.
If you believe in it, then do let us know. If you're a time traveller as well. It's like
I might go to their Christmas party.
I'd say I don't believe it, but like I quite like the feeling it makes in my head when I think about it for too long, which is like. If you asked me to prove that those 300 years did happen, John, I wouldn't be able to.
No.
I wouldn't be able to. So that's number four. Speaking of centuries, John, how about a bit of blur on end of a century?
Yes.
Okay.
Do it.
I'll do it.
Do it. Oh, he's done it.
Yeah, that's Deer Hunter with Memory Boy. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that at the end of it. I am going to do that at the end of every song. You're listening to Future Radio. This is the Tim and John show.
I'm John. That's Tim.
Yeah. That's 2-1 to you.
Yep.
Yeah. And we're talking about secrets and conspiracy theories and things like that.
Do you want to know more secrets from my A4 piece of paper that I've written down?
I'd love to know more secrets. So this is from the website Post Secrets. Is it Post Secrets or Post Secrets?
Post Secrets.
Great. Tell us some more, John Osborne.
When a cafe customer pays with a credit card, I make sure to remember their name so I can look them up on Facebook later.
That's good. That's creepy and good.
It sounds almost like a rom-com. Should we write it? Do you want to write a rom-com script together?
I'd like to write the page treatment, and then if we get some money, then I'll go. I still want to do my comedy version of Kafka's Metamorphosis, but it's kind of like a cross between Metamorphosis and Woof.
Woof's one of my all-time favourite programmes. I absolutely loved Woof. It must be really annoying if you're a little boy and you keep turning into a dog. I've had a lot of respect for him.
Well, I just think that's an excuse. That's just an excuse to be naked behind someone's sofa, isn't it? You're kind of like, well, you've taken all your school clothes off and you're naked behind I turned into a dog.
Yeah.
I think it's Anyway, more secrets, John Osborne. This is the next one. I sometimes, when my nose begins to itch, I turn into a small, delightful dog and solve crimes.
Yeah, on children's ITV every Wednesday in the late 80s.
No Bernard's watch.
Remember that story I told you? You were the princess.
Oh, God. I wish I wasn't.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to end up rich, powerful and lonely. I think postmen are sexy. I was high at my friend's funeral. There we go. There's a load of them on on the TED Talks site. I'll put a link to that on the Facebook.
What I like about them is they start off for me at least, quite inspirational, and then as time goes on, they make me, I just feel like I'm kind of like with a friend who's drinking more and more red yeah. wine.
Well, some of them are so sad that I didn't even want to write them down because they're heartbreaking. Some of them, they're so personal and so...
That's what I do when I'm kind of like, have sad people in my life. I just push them out and ignore them.
Well, like, it wasn't... Well, all I mean by that, it wasn't really suitable radio material because it's just so...
Not for our upbeat, chipper show. Yeah. I'll tell you what is, though, John, was an urban legend that was told by... Julia Bird has tweeted in saying, I liked that unintentional pun. You obviously didn't. Bird tweet. No, anyway. I mean, you're not being unsupportive, and I deserve it, because I'm the dreadful one. I know, John. I know I'm ruining it. I know. Julia Bird said she was told, if you get a Milky Way wrapper with stars under the fold and you eat the Milky Way inside, you'd be invisible.
Oh, that's brilliant.
the final word of that sentence suddenly yeah. makes it...
And something about Milky Way that makes me think that's believable as well.
Did we talk about... I'm sure that we might have even talked about this in our first show.
About Woof, yeah. We've talked about it.
No, I have got nothing. I'm out. I was told and believed for years and years and years that if you collected your full name using the letters that you get at the top of Smarties tubes in Boston, that if you collect your full name and then you send it in, you get free Smarties for life.
That should be the case.
But no, what blows my mind is that I believed that and yet never then tried to save a single top.
Yeah, I tried to save them. I don't know if, I think I just saved all of them. I don't think I tried to save them just if they had my name.
Just because you loved them?
Yeah, I'd been kidnapped.
He's about help me. I absolutely believe that sweet based fable.
I want the Milky Way now as well.
Yeah, Chair and Brakes underdog. Sorry, I got told off at a Chair and Brakes concert by the person in front of me.
You rock and roll rebel.
I was singing out of tune to the thing, and they said, please stop singing. I think you should be able to go to a concert and sing. I think in retrospect, maybe it's just because Chair and Brakes are a little bit anodyne. But anyway, hello.
It's a lovely image of just you singing
save
your heart.
Save me. Come on, everyone.
We're at a gig.
Oh, quick. I'm going to crowd surf. Get me up. Wheeze.
Seems he's a good boy, does what he should, boy. Seems he's so very nice. But if you think that you're just a dingbat, in for a big surprise. Don't be a thickhead, there's something wicked behind the friendly eyes. Don't be a victim of John Osborne's lies.
John Osborne's lies.
John Osborne's lies. This is a game that Tim Clare created called John Osborne's Lies, where I tell Tim Clare three pieces of information, only one of which is true, and he has to work out which is the lie.
I've got it wrong twice in a row now.
I'm 2-0 up. So,
what's the theme, John Osborne? Did you say martial arts?
Martial arts, yeah. So I'm going to give you three pieces of information relating to me and martial arts. And I would like... Seems implausible. I can tell you're already thinking. But and you've got to tell which is the true one. So there'll be two lies and one is true.
I hope one of them is that you beat Bruce Lee in a fight.
Number one. When I was 10 years old, I joined judo club. But the instructor recommended that I don't continue with it because I was too soft. Number two, when I was 16 years old, I joined Kung Fu Club, and the instructor recommended that I leave because he was also the deputy head of my school and had noticed that my marks weren't good enough, and he thought that if I was joining new clubs, it was a very foolish thing to do, and so I should concentrate on doing schoolwork rather than Kung Fu. And number three, when I was at university, me and my housemate Mark joined Taekwondo Club, and we weren't very good at it because we were really hungover. And our instructor said to us that if we wanted to be serious about Taekwondo, then we needed to not turn up hungover, and we needed to stop drinking if we wanted to do Taekwondo. And so we decided to quit Taekwondo after one lesson.
Okay, so hang on, let me think about this again. So you, what was the first one again?
Judo, 10 years old, soft.
You were told you were too soft for judo.
Yeah.
I don't believe that one. I think the second one, that you turned up and your deputy head turned out to be the instructor.
Yeah.
And told you, the way you told that, there wasn't quite, for me, there wasn't quite enough. There wasn't quite enough local colour to make that plausible.
Okay.
I felt that, like, as you started to tell that, you were elaborating in a way. I should be... Apparently, you're supposed to be able to, like, tell whether someone's confabulating because they, like, look one direction when they're getting stuff out of their memory. Their eyes will go one direction and then they'll look sort of down into their... or however they've, like, however they've encoded it. I don't think that's true. I think... And this was my first thought, and so I'm going to stick... This is how I play Trivial Pursuit, and this is how I'm going to play this game. I thought, number three, that you started doing Tang Sado at university, that you and your friend went, you turned up hungover, and then you were told that you maybe shouldn't bother if you were to turn up. I think, like, the Tang Sado classes probably were quite huge. So in a way, like, my only scepticism about that is that would you be picked out of, like, 40, 50 people to be picked on? So maybe... you know, there was a larger group, and you were, you know, it was more of a blanket statement, but you included. But I think I think it's still technically true, and I think so. I would go with number three, John Osborne. Is that the true thing, and were the other two lies? Please, because otherwise this
is a good boy. Does what he should. Boy, seems he's so
I've got some
very
bad news for you.
Oh no, John Osborne, please.
Number one is the true statement.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was me and my friend Stephen when we were 10 years old, and we went to judo, and because we were so soft, we didn't actually want to have a fight with anyone, and so we just used to sit in the corner and talk to each other. And my dad came to pick me up one week, and the instructor just took him to one side and said, "Look, I think this is a waste of everyone's time. Like, they're clearly not interested in taking part." Like, I'd been there for like maybe 3 months, and I didn't really enjoy it. I didn't really want to do it. I kind of thought I did at first, and then it was really hard. And yeah, I just didn't.
Did you learn how to fall?
Yeah, I learned how to fall, and I learned the basic grips. I learned how to do. I learned how to trip people, but I wasn't into it. I didn't have the killer instinct. And so, yeah, 3-0 to me. I wonder if you're really bad at this game or whether I'm really good at this game.
I'm now doing worse than chance.
OK, today's American president is Thomas Jefferson, born on April the 13th, 1743. He was one of America's founding fathers and was the principal author of the United States Declaration of Independence, and he was the third president of the United States from 1801 to 1809. Jefferson has often been rated in scholarly surveys as one of the greatest US presidents, though since the mid-20th century, some historians have increasingly criticised him for his failure to act against domestic slavery. And I've got five facts about Thomas Jefferson, and then there's the extra fact about a tomato.
I'd already say you're doing better than Thomas Jefferson, because you have never been criticised for your failure to act against domestic slavery, John.
No,
so
I haven't.
All right, 1-0 to John Osborne.
But neither have you, so we're both winning. We both get a point there.
Don't put yourself down.
Fact number one, he was the third president of the United States. Thomas Jefferson was the third president. He was in office for two terms, from March the 4th to 1801 to March the 4th, 1809. Although being president is certainly a life achievement of note, Jefferson was more proud of his involvement in the Virginia state government, the writing of the Declaration of Independence, and his founding of the University of Virginia.
All right, so all those count as one for him. You haven't served two terms as an American president, or done the Declaration of Independence. So one all.
and the fact that he was the third US president is not even reflected on his tombstone. Number two, principal author of the Declaration of Independence. In June 1776, Jefferson was appointed to a five-man committee to prepare what we now know as the Declaration of Independence. independence. The committee selected Jefferson to write the first draft because of his reputation as a writer. Jefferson was solely responsible for the wording of the Declaration, with the exception of about a quarter of the document, which was rewritten by the committee. Number three, second Vice President of the US under John Adams. Tom Jefferson was the second Vice President and served under John Adams from 1797 to 1801. As the first Democratic Republican candidate in 1796, he lost to John Adams, but had enough electoral votes to become the Vice President. He was only the second ever Vice President.
So he ran against the President and then... Oh, no, hang on, I get it, OK.
Yeah. Number four, the founder of the University of Virginia. Jefferson had a great love of education. He was a well-recognised lawyer, horticulturist and writer. He had many other academic interests as well. A love of learning, which turned into a dream, into his dream of establishing a university. Jefferson realised his dream when, in 1819, he founded the University of Virginia. When the school opened in 1825, it was the first of its kind to offer a range of elective courses to its students. Jefferson was so personally attached to the university that, until his death, Jefferson invited students and faculty of the school to his home. Jefferson's library, his library included 6,487 books.
Oh man, I imagine he got them round and was like, all right, I can imagine that now, Thomas Jefferson getting them round. All right, lads, I've got some Carlsberg in the fridge. Should we go downstairs? Pick any. I've got Spotify. You can play any song you like. What songs do you like? What bands are you into? I'll put them down. I'll do a playlist. Get a beer. Sit down. Relax.
Number five, Jefferson died at the age of 84, which sounds like a massive age to be in 1826. Isn't that the equivalent of living till you're 200 nowadays?
In dog years.
And he died on July the 4th, the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, which he had written himself, and a few hours before John Adams. So he died on the same day as his predecessor, the second President of the United States.
So you could almost say that he beat John Adams to death.
Yeah, they were originally friends but became all but bitter political adversaries. They lived fairly close to each other, and though born into a wealthy slave owning family, Jefferson had many financial problems and died deeply in debt. And here's some little bits of quite interesting things. He took a cold foot bath every morning for 60 years. He had a mockingbird named Dick in the White House study, and he let the bird ride.
I bet he only had that so he could make crude puns. That must have been so tiring being his cleaner or going in to see him.
President Jefferson took his mockingbird bits of foods that he held between his lips at meals. Thomas Jefferson was once given a £1,235 hunk of cheese, giving us the term the big cheese.
No, I want to check that on Snopes, the thing of... Once there was a president who was given some cheese, hence the phrase the big cheese. Come on.
That's plausible.
I think it's plausible that he was once given some cheese, but I wonder whether that was definitely that. Anyway.
At 6 feet, 2.5 inches, he is the joint third tallest president, along with Bill Clinton. Second tallest is Lyndon B. Johnson, and the tallest, Abraham Lincoln, at 6'4".
Are you sure that wasn't mostly his hat, though?
Yeah. We've got your list to complete of top five conspiracy theories. What's number one?
Well, it was going to be the Paul is dead,
but you
said that really early, and so we kind of went through that and did that. So I'm trying to find a different urban legend conspiracy theory to fill it out.
To be your favourite.
Yeah. No, I love the Paul is dead one just because I like anything that, especially the part of it where people hear John Lennon saying, "I buried Paul," and he's actually saying cranberry sauce in a silly voice.
But yeah, because is it right that John Lennon kind of caught wind of the fact that there was lots of conspiracy theories, that he was quite happy to fuel them? He added to the mix.
I think I wasn't aware that they were deliberately playing into it, because I mean, obviously they just had lots of kind of crazy imagery, and then it kind of became less funny after after like psychopaths took it as a basically that it was then taken to be some kind of message to incite Helter Skelter was going to be this war between the lizard men and the humans, and there was and everyone should be killed and stuff like that. So I think became like after crazy people took it a little bit literally, it became less funny. But like, you know, I know there was definitely playing stuff in Glass Onion when he says, "Here's another clue for you all: the walrus was Paul." It's not a clue.
Yeah.
It's just a thing you're saying.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it. I like how you can put a mirror over the drums halfway across the drum skin on Sergeant Pepper, and it says like a date, and then an arrow pointing to Paul McCartney. It says he die. Amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So talking about the Beatles, here's Oasis.
I know work can be tough. I know time can be slow. There's no need to give up. There's a place you can go, it's a place I know, and it's called the Tim and John Show. Out of things in your life, didn't go how you planned. Baby, put down the knife, come and take my hand. It's a golden land, and it's called the Tim and John Show.